Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, welcome back to another episode of the For the Healthy Host podcast.
Where we talk about conscious living, self-awareness, and everything in between. I almost fumbled.
It ain't been that long.
It ain't that it's been that long. Just a little distorted.
I'm your host, Ree.
Sunset Tim.
Thank you for joining us and allowing us to be a part of your journey.
Smooth.
How you doing?
Okay. Y'all don't want to know how I'm doing. I'm doing horrible, guys. I'll tell y'all
not this. Horrible.
I'm a little tired. I don't really know what to call it. Like, I don't know if I slipped my disc. Or I pinched the nerve in my lumbar area. I am bad right now. I can barely walk, y'all. I got a cane. I got biofreeze on my back. I'm broke down right now.
But I think it comes from, like, not stretching enough.
It might be. I know it's. It's a strain or something. I did something. Pulled something.
Yeah, at the gym.
Yes, and I kind of ignored it. In true guy fashion, we just overlooked that little pain. Mm-hmm. Just keep going until it's too bad, and then now it's too goddamn bad on me.
Yeah, let this be our lesson to stretch before and after the gym. It's honestly as many times as you
full
can.
Body stretch.
Full body.
Cause I got stretch. You know, I do my little arms.
Yeah, and, I know, Elisa. I definitely want to stretch more as well.
Yeah, I got to do more flexible stretching, yoga and stuff like that. I do the basic little stretch before every time I work out, but you need that full body, especially back and core. You know what I mean? You need yoga for that. So I'm going to have to put yoga back in my life.
Definitely. And not even only when you work out, but like on a daily basis, we should all be stretching.
Yeah. Need to hit my yoga in the morning.
Yo, re-yoga.
Yes. You be killing that on TikTok, so I need to put my re-yoga in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling?
I'm actually good. Like, I am tired. I felt really exhausted this morning. But as the day has, you know, started to happen, I feel fine. And I'm trying not to think about how I'm not actually that tired. I just think this week I haven't had enough good sleep, and my body is just like a little tired. I took a break from social media since I think the day before yesterday. I had been going through something, and like just personally with family, I found myself escaping. Like, I'm on the explore page, I'm looking at, like I said, I'm vlogging too, but like I said, I'm looking at India Love lashes, and I'm like, what are you doing? Because I told myself, like, listen, I'm going to let you escape for a little bit. But once I'm, like, on the Explore page and, like, just literally was on Instagram for an hour, I have literally never done that. I was like, nah, it's time for you to get off. And I've been able to kind of, like, deal with those emotions, and I feel so much more clarity, so much more peace. And, yeah, I'm feeling really good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Mentally, I don't know. I'm decent mentally.
Yeah.
Overthinking my back shit got me a little fried.
Yeah, you was bad this morning, y'all. He was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do the podcast. I'm like, baby, just get up. Come on, baby.
I didn't know if
you'll feel better.
I didn't know if I was gonna leave the bed today. I didn't even know if I'm gonna have the ability to stand today.
But look at you.
Yeah, look at me. I took 22 steps probably.
It don't matter. You still did it.
I still did it.
And that's you here. You showed up.
And I showed up. But I apologize if y'all get a weird answer or anything like that out of me today. I ain't in my right mind. How y'all doing?
How is everybody doing? From the
cubes.
You almost didn't say it.
I need to start saying like the cubes.
They're going to unsubscribe.
Cubes.
They're going to unfollow. Yeah, take a deep breath. Get present with yourself, with your energy, and experience yourself. How are you?
And with that being said, what are we rapping about today?
Today we're talking about the inner child. And I'm really excited about this. I think we hear a lot of talk Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I feel like I hear inner child, inner child, inner child all the time. And yeah, I just really wanted to discuss this with you. Jumping right into it. When you hear like inner child, what exactly does that mean to you? How do you define that in that phrase?
When I hear inner child, I think about like just natural joy. What in life just brings me like joy for like, I ain't gonna say just for no reason, but just like kind of like for no reason. Like it just, what about this particular thing? I don't know, but every time I see it or involved in it or I'm doing it, it brings me a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. When I think about my inner child usually just, it's very expressive and wants to, I mean, in general, have a good time. But all in all, very joyful is what I think about when I hear inner child. What about you?
Side note, your haircut looks really good.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But when I think of inner child, I think of like that is who we actually are. Okay. That is the truest versions of ourselves. You know how we grow up and we kind of like overthink things, like just the smallest things. When I feel like our inner child didn't really overthink certain things. We just kind of did. I feel like we were very intuitive. We kind of just did what we wanted to do. But what I also think about is like our subconscious mind, because, you know, along the line, like as we are children, we experience certain things, whether it be things said directly to us, how we were treated. We experience certain things and we remember those things subconsciously. So it may be certain things that as we are adults now, we don't really know why we feel this way or why we get anxiety when this certain topic comes up, or why we get anxiety when, you know, entering certain relationships or doing certain things, following our passion. But our inner child, our subconscious mind remembers those things. And I feel like if you don't tend to your inner child, it could hold you back from so many different things. If you are in tune with your inner child, aka your truest self, then you'll be able to do a lot more things. You'll be able to get past a lot of fears that you may have if you have a good relationship with the inner child. If not, on the other hand, it won't serve you and it'll hold you back, because again, those subconscious fears and traumas and that pain hold you back from who you truly are before you experience like trauma and pain and I guess neglect, what you felt neglected. Another thing too, I think about the book You Are a Badass, but she talked about inner child really or aka subconscious mind really, really well. The inner child is so gullible. Like, believes anything, takes everything at face value. So sometimes he may act in certain ways or, like, have certain fears. But it be, like, our inner child really receiving that message or that experience.
Agreed. Our inner child is, like, very confident in everything they do.
Yeah.
Almost overly confident. You see children, they be 100% believing the things that they do and what they say. Our inner child is very much like that. Also with children, they think less logical. When we get older, we think more logical. That's how we lose our inner child a lot of times. We just make things on, oh, this makes sense. 1 + 1 = 2. I'll just do this. You know, I'll go to college, I'll graduate, and I'll get this job. And then I'll live this life.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we logically think. Our inner child don't necessarily think like that. Our inner child is a little more spontaneous.
Yes.
A little more of a dreamer.
Yep.
Our inner child, it's more, like I say, in tune with what we naturally want, not what we logically think is going to happen, what we want to manifest to happen.
Yeah.
Like, a lot, logically, kids wake up every day trying to manifest the best day of all time, especially on Saturdays, right? Mm-hmm. We as kids, we try to do it, you know, I'm going to ride my bike here, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, all the time. But, you know, when you think logically, you think, okay, what's the best I can get out of today?
Right.
You know what I mean? You already, like, knocked the ceiling down to where you can touch it. Where a child, they might end up in Disneyland.
Exactly.
You know, on Saturday or whatever. But your inner child naturally knows what you're into.
Agreed. When you think about healing the inner child, what exactly do you think of?
For me, because we spoke about this, I never really connected with the term of like healing the inner child. I more or less connect more with like connecting back to the inner child.
Right.
Bringing the inner child's likes and dislikes and activities back into my reality, back into my day-to-day with a little bit of logic. Just a tad bit, not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So when I think about it from that perspective, I want to emulate and do things that my inner child would just be blown away by. So yeah. Excited, you know what I mean? Like if I had little Travis or little Tim right here with me, and he's like, "Oh shit, you got a whoa!" I want to do things that make him say that. You got
yeah.
that? You know what I mean? I want to do things in that nature. That's what helps me connect with the inner child and just bringing, like I said, things that the inner me is into for no reason into my life. I think a lot of times when we knock those away, we say that is, you know, those are childish things.
Right.
You need to put, you know, you need to put kid things behind you. You're a man now. You're a woman now.
Mm-hmm.
That's some of the worst advice you can ever get.
Agreed.
Where some of the most creative and people who have shaped history have almost thought about it in a childlike
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, those people were definitely tapped in with their inner child.
Yeah, yeah. Like MLK was definitely tapped in with inner child when he thought we all could live in harmony.
Yeah.
When you logically think about it, you say, well, no, not everybody gonna get along. We're not all finna get along in this place.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not gonna happen. So, but the inner child says, shit, there's enough room for everybody. We can all play. Like, everybody can play tag today. Like, everybody with it. Like, but like I said, the inner child is like that, though. He has no limits. The inner child has no limits. He can do as he pleases, and he pleases himself when he does these things. But like I said, as we get older, we think more logically, and the inner child just gotta sit in the corner with the, with his nose in the corner, like in the school when they tell you to go sit in the corner. That's basically where all of our inner child sit, in that corner, just waiting to be played with one day.
Yeah.
We have to get back to that.
Agreed.
What about you?
Healing the inner child. I don't know. Like, I agree with you. It's definitely about connecting to that inner child. Like, you know, when you were in I feel like your inner child, I've heard you say this before, like all younger versions of me, like it exists at
in
several different ages from when I was
2, 5, 10, 12, 16.
Like it exists. So connecting with those different parts of myself and trying to understand my limiting beliefs, because our inner child, like I said, is so gullible, and we experience certain things, or we see certain things in the media, or even whether it be in our home or like with friends, wherever the case may be, and we believe those things and we create beliefs based off those past experiences. So just really trying to be aware and acknowledge what my limiting beliefs are, and in a sense reparenting myself, like, hey, you know, I know you saw this, but this is not true. I know you believe that, but that is not true. Or I know that it was done this way when you grew up, but that is not the only way. I'm trying to think. I remember it was something I grew up doing a certain way. I can't remember exactly what it was. And you was like, you do it that way? And I was like, yeah, that's the only way to do it. And I was just so blown away that I was like, whoa. Like, I had no idea. I can't remember the thing. But I was like, whoa, I thought it was only done this way. But just, you know, tending to their inner child, connecting, and like you said before too, just living my life without limitations and beyond my wildest dreams. Like this podcast, that's healing my inner child. Like even though little me, I didn't even know what podcasts were back then, but I remember whenever I was in college, 19, and I wanted to be, I think I told you just the other day, I wanted to be a commentator, like just like a person on TV, a host. And someone I looked up to told me, like one of my mentors told me, like, no, you're not going to be able to do that. You have a child, this, and that. And for me, this is a way that I'm healing that inner child, because it may not be exactly how I saw it at that time, but I'm doing that thing. And so that's a way that I'm healing my inner child. And just especially like creatively speaking, I think once we are all tapped into our inner child and heal that inner child, those different versions of ourselves, our creativity, bruh, so unlimited.
Yeah. When you say it like that, it definitely made me think like, yeah, you do have to heal the inner child, taking what you weren't giving, what you were giving that wasn't correct.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you were given that was correct, and building on that as well.
Yeah.
You know, all of it wasn't bad.
Exactly.
Some of it is good. I do wish I could go back and talk to little man, or just give him attention, and we talking personally about my own inner child. I'm a middle child. And this, I don't know if this is like for all middle children, but like sometimes middle children, or just me personally, I ain't gonna say all middle children, kind of got looked over.
Yeah.
A lot of times you're not the baby and you're not the oldest. So a lot of times you just, if you're in that weird spot, you can get looked over.
Yeah.
By all of the potential role models in my community. Like, you know, my uncles, my father passed when I was young. He showed me a lot of attention, but I say he passed when I was 6. So it wasn't a lot of people that just like looked at me and wanted to like teach me something or give me something. So I was left alone a lot of times as a kid. And I just wish that I can go back to my inner child, my little man, and just give him some type of attention. You know what I mean? Tell him that somebody sees him.
Yeah.
I think we talking about healing the inner child. That leads me to just lay on back sometimes.
What do you mean?
Well, not put myself so far out there. I'm so used to being like kind of not seen or being in the cut that it started to become just a natural little habitat to go to, you know what I mean? Instead of, you know, pushing forward and getting to the front of the crowd and standing right on stage, you know, naturally, through what I've experienced, it's just like, yeah, just laying on back, not trying to put on a show necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you do need to be a show. You need to showcase your talents and your skills and put them out there.
Agreed.
It's okay for you to be on the stage and the spotlight on you.
Agreed.
Everybody takes their time. Every artist that hit the stage, they got a 2-hour set. You know, everybody got their time.
Two whole hours?
Is that a lot of time? Yeah. When we saw Blast, he had a 2-hour. Like, it was
it
like
didn't
two.
Feel like it.
It don't though, because when you up there doing your thing, the inner child thing, and your inner child, like we was in the seats enjoying it, like children dancing and
yeah, we strange, were.
Like, so when the inner child get going, I mean, time is irrelevant, basically.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
So. Yeah, I do feel you on healing the inner child. You do have to go back and look on what you were missing that needs to be added, what you did give that needs to be strengthened, and what just needs to be 100% cut out.
Something you said I want to explore, you said everything isn't bad. Agreed, because I do feel like sometimes we talk about healing the inner child, and I think in general we talking out our shit in the wellness community and, you know, the mental health community, we always talk about, like, the negative. But there are certain experiences that I think of, like, with my grandma. Mm-hmm. I was singing to my grandmother all the time. That woman believed in me so much. I sing to her all the time. And she'd be like, she called me Chantel. Oh, Chantel, that was so good. And then I remember she was in the hospital in her last few days. I had, back then, you know, we had MP3 players. Had this little MP3 player, and I had recorded myself singing before I went to visit her. And I gave it to her, and she put it in her ears, and she was just like, this made me feel so much better. Like, this really helping my pain. And it's moments like that that give me so much strength and so much comfort. And, like, it just go back to what you said, remembering the good times and understanding how much they can empower you. Because everything wasn't bad. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we sometimes focus, we put our attention on all that is bad. Now, please believe, the bad shit, the trauma, the negative experiences, you do have to work through those to heal your inner child. But I think by remembering those good times will definitely heal the fuck out of your inner child.
Yeah, that's dope. You're a good kid.
I'm a good kid.
You're a good kid.
Oh, thank you.
That's,
you
really
are too. Yeah. That's hilarious. Because I did that shit. Why do you think the inner child even needs to be healed in the first place?
Because you can properly, I feel like you could actually properly heal without healing the inner child. But I think you will have more questions on why certain things are a certain way or why you feel a certain way about this.
Yeah.
Our childhood is when we like, it's like that's when the library of our mind is the most blank. So our first set of books is what we know by heart. So
yeah,
those ones are that sit closer to us.
I've heard the first 5 years of a child's life are the most important. Like,
I can
build
that.
Their core memories.
I can get that, because like you said, them are books you're going to reference to from everything. You know what I mean? They sit in the library the longest. As we get older, we add books and we throw books out so quickly. You know, we want to start this or start that. You know what I mean? We throw books in and out, but it's core books in our library that makes up us that we'll never throw out.
Agreed.
It's stuff you can never forget. And those things build roots. They build character in a person. Mm-hmm. You know, why you care so much about things that other people just don't. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For me, if you want less questions in your healing journey, start from when you were a little child.
Agreed.
What about you?
The inner child definitely has to be healed because, like we just said, the first 5 years of your life are so important. And who do you spend those first, you know, 5 years with? Parents, mm-hmm. caregivers, siblings, the people who raised you. And I think regardless, I would like to think that most parents have good intentions when they're raising their children. Mm-hmm. And you could raise your child like to the best. You know, for example, I think we're raising our children really, really well. But I do think that there are going to be some trauma within our child. Like, not trauma. Trauma is not the word I'm looking for. But I do think that they're going to have to, our kids are going to have to heal their inner child. Like, even though we're doing the best that we can. Because something that I think about, too, with my mom was a single mom. And I always think about the fact that she did the best she could with the knowledge that she had. But when I think about children, though, I just think about the fact that a lot of times children are silenced.
Yeah.
I think, and I guess really I'm just speaking for me. This is how I felt growing up. I felt like there was a power dynamic. I felt like my mother kind of thought I was a possession. Like, she owned me. Like, even like you've seen our relationship today at, you know, as I'm an adult. And I think you can see she kind of feels like, you know, I'm her possession.
Yeah, yeah. She feels, yeah, she do feel, what's the word? What is the word? She feels that she just has the authority when she comes. Even when she comes to our house.
Yes.
She feels that she has the authority to do as she please because she's grandma or, you know, whatever her mind is, she says, I can do this. I can mess with the thermostat.
Bruh,
I can
move turned our thermostat to 76 one night. And I'm like, why is it so hot? But I think when it comes to children, I don't think that there is a level of respect that it should be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I definitely felt that growing up. Of course, there were fun times. But I think there just wasn't a level of respect. And children aren't. They're often not treated as like they're human beings.
We're just not treated as equals.
Yeah, human being. That's a little. That's a little.
Somebody might got that treatment, but most times they're not equal. Like, I know what you mean.
Equals.
We grew up in a time period where, like, you know,
whatever the elders say goes.
Yeah, they said when you didn't get to ask why.
Questions. Yeah.
Questioning. You didn't even get to, like, you know, certain words was off. It meant like a lie.
Lie. I couldn't say
my
lie.
My mama was one of them. You can't say the word lie to a grown up.
Agreed.
She heard Aubrey say lie one time. My mom was like, oh no, you can't. She can't say lie.
I do remember that.
She can't say lie. And I distinctively remember telling her, nah, she can say it.
Yeah.
She can say it. If somebody lies, she can say it. Like, it's open.
Mm-hmm.
And my mama didn't necessarily like it. Like, it's not how
really?
She was raised. No, she did not. I can tell that she did not like it. She didn't tell me, but she was just like, oh. Okay, that's like, how y'all doing things.
That's how y'all doing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's how y'all doing things. But I think that's one of those things where a lot of kids, you couldn't say lie because parents didn't, at that time period, parents like didn't know if they could actually make it come true sometimes. Mm. So that's why they didn't want to hear it come back. It probably hurt them.
Now, our child has told us, you lied. And then I think back, now see, this is why they told kids can't tell adults that they lied. But nah, whenever I say silence, like, this actually like proves my point or like expresses exactly what I was trying to say. We couldn't say certain things. We couldn't ask certain questions.
Yeah.
I just feel like, especially we both grew up in single parent households and, you know, our parents had a lot of pressure on them, a lot of responsibility. Yeah. So that affected their mental health, obviously. And I'm experiencing this with my mom today. To this day, she still hasn't really, God knows, mental health issues resolved, you know, mm-hmm. currently still dealing with that particular thing. And whenever you, so obviously our parents were children once.
Mm-hmm.
And so they experienced things that we will never, ever know about.
Yeah.
Whether it be in their home or with siblings or with friends or even as they, you know, became teenagers and or young adults, and it be whether it be with men, you know, or like their love life, they experience things that we will never know. And that shaped them to be the person that they are. And that affected the way that they raised us. So when they have wounds that are unhealed, it's going to affect how they raise their children. Mm-hmm. And if those wounds and that trauma doesn't get healed, it's just going to get passed down. Like, that's when they say generational curses or cycles, that's the shit that they're talking about. And mm-hmm. so I think that's why it's important for you to, like, all human beings to heal that inner child. Another thing is, too, I think children aren't given enough grace. Like, when they make mistakes, I know I wasn't. I talked about this on a previous episode before. Like, any mistake I made, like, I waste some juice, yelled at. I say the wrong thing, yelled at. You know, I asked a question, yelled at. And yeah. I saw a TikTok video a while ago, and she was like, these are new fucking humans.
Yeah, yeah.
These are new human beings. Like, I don't understand. We honestly, we 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and we still don't have it figured out. So imagine one, two, like, you know, yeah, really, yeah.
Kid, five,
especially
six,
single digit ages.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, y'all, that literally, I still feel like a new human being. I'm not even going to lie. So imagine, like, that age. They're new. They don't know.
Yeah.
So it's just like, give children grace. And I think when that grace is not given, it can definitely affect your self-esteem. And, you know, it'll require you to heal that specific part of your inner child.
Yeah. I don't think any kid can be raised perfect. Every kid gonna have something to, like, mm-hmm. necessarily heal from, no matter how, as parents, like, we try to hit the cues and try to, you know, make sure we checking all the boxes, but I'm pretty sure I can already shape my oldest one what I think it might be.
Yep, agreed.
She hears, so I ain't gonna say it.
Yeah.
So I ain't gonna say it because she can probably hear me.
Yeah.
But I can shape it, like, to what it is. But yes, you gotta give children grace. I think a lot of times parents be in survival mode.
Mm.
And they just be thinking, like, especially, like, single parents, like, where we came from.
Yeah.
They be trying to keep the ship afloat. So they looking for the next problem and this, that, yep. and the third. And here you go. Like you said, you spill some milk in the middle of somebody in a critical thought process. Like, oh, man. And that just broke them from it. I can see the frustration, but you still don't want them to act out in that way. But I can see why. You know
I understand
mean?
It for sure.
It's so much strain. Raising a person, bro.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, trying to raise yourself still, and then trying to give both y'all a life that's worth living and a life that's yeah. worth enjoying in this crazy, chaotic world they set up for us.
Agreed.
Grace is needed.
Grace is very much needed. And extend that grace to, like, your inner child, but also yourself in this mm-hmm. moment as well.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. During this time of the year, we're so hyper-fixated on our goals and resolutions and what we can improve on, and that's fine. I just think we don't give ourselves enough grace. We don't focus on the things that actually went good in our lives, the things that served us, and the things that we should continue to be consistent with. For me, therapy is one of those things. I started therapy during a time where I really, really needed it the most. It taught me to love myself all over again, to draw boundaries, and to choose myself first through it all. And this experience in my life will never go unnoticed. If starting therapy is something that has been on your mind, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional cost. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/FTHH to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/FTHH.
Are there certain experiences in your childhood where you like, yeah, my inner child definitely needs to be healed from, you know, this particular experience?
I probably got two in particular, almost three. One didn't necessarily happen to me. It happened to a friend of mine's. But I was with him when it happened, so I just felt so bad for him. But one that was actually me, I can remember in, I want to say it was either 7th or 8th grade, playing church league basketball. And both the years I played, I was always good at basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the game scared me. Like, practice never scared me. I love going. The game scared me to play in front of people.
Yeah, the actual game, okay.
Play in front of people. Oh, I could never play the same in practice as I could in the game because I had so much anxiety about the games. Mm-hmm. And I remember one particular game. My girlfriend at the time came to the game.
Not you had a girlfriend before me.
What? yeah, she came to the game. And I was just like, I just particularly remember like not being able to focus on the
game. Did you know she was going to come?
Yes, I knew she was going to be there. So that made it. I'm thinking about it even more. So I'm like, it's in my head. And then she actually came. I'm like, oh my God. Now I already got jitters about the game.
Did you play well?
No, I played bad.
Oh my God.
Well, I ain't going to say I played bad. I didn't play. I damn near didn't play at all to my standard, right? Mm. Like, of course I dribbled, I passed. And if I had to, I shot. But I didn't play like I normally would, though. Mm-hmm. If there was no people in the gym and it was just number hoopers there, I looked way different. But yeah. The anxiety, fear of being seen is like my biggest thing that I had to heal from being a child was fear of being seen. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I remember that game. It was bad. Oh, it was so bad. And then the second one, it didn't happen to me. It happened to my friend.
Well, I feel like this would be some. Because the way you looking, like, what?
No, it ain't shit, really. Like, we was at a football game. It's one of the biggest games of the year. We was playing Cape, I believe. So everybody came out, you know what I mean? Cape was like a close city to where we from and whatnot. So all the girls there, all the dudes there, everybody from the school, everybody from the, like, around the way, everybody at the game. Like, everybody in the community and everybody from school. And I remember my friend, let's say his name, he called him D. We was talking and he making jokes with my brother's best, one of my brother's best friend at the time. He actually passed. Shout out to Gerard. Rest in peace, bro. He making jokes with Gerard. And I don't know where the jokes come from. He was like, he was going to slap him with the pizza. He was going to slap him in the face with a pizza.
Who said that was going to slap him with a pizza?
Gerard must have, either D or Gerard made a joke about one of them having a pizza face, like bumps or whatever. Oh, my God. And Gerard had a pizza. Yeah, I remember him just slapping my friend with the pizza.
Oh, my God. I've actually heard you say this, talk about this before.
I'm talking about, man. And he did it, everybody. It seemed like the game stopped. It's like the players in the game stopped. But I know everybody in the stands turned around. And he's sitting next to me. And because he's so in shock, like the pizza kind of like just dripped off his face.
Like a movie.
Like in a movie. I'm like, oh, shit. This just happened, bro. And he just like, he get up out the stands and just like walk out. He walk home from the game. And I'm in such shock. I ain't like other folks laughing. I'm really just in shock. I'm like, God damn, what just happened to my dog? And if I could go back in that time, I wish that I'd at least go comfort my friend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? At the time, I was just such in shock. I didn't even know what the fuck to do. What just happened? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wish I stood up for dog. So that brings me back to another thing I want to hear from my childhood. I could always stand up for myself anytime. But it was so often in my childhood, I wanted to stand up for other kids. Mm-hmm. And I didn't because, again, I didn't want to be seen sometimes. But mm-hmm. I just didn't like the treatment other kids got. And I didn't say anything about it sometimes.
Yeah.
So those are two things, two moments I definitely remember, man. Then he did my dog dirty with that pizza.
That is very dirty.
And what about you?
I can't think of a very specific time. But whenever I was a child, you know, the way that my mother talks to me, the way that she like raises her voice even to this day, son, like obviously it happened so many times. Oh no, now I can remember a time specifically as I'm like saying, like talking about it. There was a time, like, and I was, this is my inner child, but I mean I was 20. I think when you 20, you still the baby to me, in my opinion. I was 20, around that age, and we were in the car, and it was your grandma, mm-hmm. my mom, Aubrey, which is our oldest daughter. She was a baby, like, probably like one.
Okay.
And my mom was on the phone talking to somebody. And she goes, here, somebody want to talk to you. And wasn't able to really express it then, but like, I don't have to be talking to people, you know, especially if I don't have the capacity. And then I asked her, I was like, who is it? She was like, and she wouldn't even tell me. Like, I'm like, I have the I can ask you who was on the phone.
Yeah, but they go that dynamic again you was talking about.
Yeah, so I asked who is it? She goes, stop acting dumb and get the phone. The level of embarrassment, because not only was your grandmother in there, my child was in there. And that was just a moment for me. Like, I will never forget that moment. And I really wanted to cry. Like, thinking about it now, like, I want to cry because it's like we said before, it's a level of respect, it's a power dynamic. Mm-hmm. And
some people never let it go. Some parents never let the power dynamic go.
And, you know, even as I am an adult today, in the way that I'm actually healing my inner child with that particular situation, it's just like having boundaries and standing up for myself when it comes to, like, mm-hmm. when she talked to me this way. Yeah. Now, it has gotten way better because now we'll go, like, I'll put her in a place. But at the same time, I will not argue with her. I'm going to get my point across and let her know, like, hey, you wrong for that? Don't talk to me like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because I have to do that, especially if it's in front of my children.
Yeah.
Because I have to let them know it's not okay to get talked to like that. You have to stand up for yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely one. And then I remember being in elementary school and I had a friend. We had like a little friend group, but there was one of the girls who was just like, she was bigger than us. And so I think we kind of felt like, okay, I don't know what they had to do with it, but she really acted like grown-er than us, kind of like ran us, like the leader of the group. And the things that she would say to us sometimes and, you know, the things that she would have us do, it wasn't really nothing particularly bad that she would have us doing. I can't even think of one thing, honestly.
But you know the feeling you had afterwards.
But I know the feeling that I had afterwards, and I just wish that I had enough... What's the word I'm even looking for? I wish that I didn't want to belong so badly that I stayed in a friendship or a friend group that didn't respect me or that didn't treat me well.
Yeah.
And so as I am an adult now, because I even like that happened in elementary school, but I feel like even when I went to like got to high school and college, I still experienced that somewhat. Mm-hmm. And now I am actively healing that part of me because it's like, I'm very picky. Like, I realized, like, I don't got to have a lot of friends. As long as I have friends who actually respect me, who actually like me, who want to experience my energy, like, that's all that matters. And, you know, at the end of the day, you my best friend, really.
Yeah, I just want to say that.
You're my best friend, but it's just, like, in our children, like, this family is my best friend. And I'm glad that I finally came to a place where I love myself enough and I like myself enough to not stay in a situation that isn't healthy.
Yeah, agreed. Especially when you get a partner in it, then we got a kid. But my friends, you better beware because you can get cut off real quick.
You can get cut off real quick. Like, listen. Yeah.
Especially a good healthy relationship will have you cutting people off left and right. People you had a hint, you had feelings that they didn't treat you right. But when you get in a good relationship and you actually see how one supposed to go, and this is like romantic or platonic, mm-hmm. you actually see how one supposed to actually be, it's real easy to spot it then, though, and everybody
Agreed.
Else. But you definitely my best friend, and my daughters are my best friends. Especially Big Aubrey. Me and her, she really helped my inner child come out a lot because we play the game daily, so I get to be a child again for mm-hmm. an hour or so every single day. And coming back and being an adult after being a child is easier for me.
Yeah.
When I felt like, okay, I've done something joyful and rewarding, mm-hmm. all right, let me go do my taxes.
Time is coming up. Ugh.
Yeah, fuck them taxes.
Speaking back on like the friend stuff though, be aware of friends who are passive because sometimes shit ain't always blatant. You know, sometimes people like will blatantly disrespect you. They'll blatantly like act like they don't really fuck with you or like you, but we supposed to be friends. But be aware of passive shit and be aware of like when you feel like somebody, this person can never be happy for me or this person always saying some slick shit anytime somebody else got something good to say about me. You know what I'm saying? Just be aware of people, be aware of your environments, breathe the room, feel the energy, because you know, like, you can't really, energy isn't something that you can see. It's not something that is visible. When I walk into any room, I can feel the energy. When I'm in a room with a person, I could feel the energy. I could feel the vibe. And sometimes we get in our head about stuff like that. Like, nah, I'm tripping. It's me. I'm tripping. Mm-hmm. But trust your gut. If you feel like that, what they say on Power Wave, they say he did that shit.
So he did that shit. Yeah, you be knowing. You be knowing, but you be... A lot of times we be knowing, but we want something to happen to guarantee that's what we were feeling. But you can just go with your feeling. You won't, but that coming back to that logic shit. Like we want a actual equation for an actual situation. But intuition is like the inner child. He knows. Yeah. Like you know it. You can feel it. I don't need me personally, I don't need the X's and O's to line up. Even if they do line up, if it still don't feel right, I still ain't gonna fuck with it.
Exactly.
So yeah, let it go.
Okay, wrapping it up. How do you heal? Like, what are just a few things you do, a few activities, you know, whatever it may be that you do to heal your inner child?
Me is just getting involved and being interested in things that my inner child, like, glows the fuck up about. Like,
yeah.
That I see and be like, oh, shit. When we be out and I see vintage cars,
mm-hmm.
I glow up.
You really do. I'd be like,
oh, let me see.
He'd be like, we'll be out. You'll be like, oh my God.
Oh my God, baby. Oh my God.
And I'd be like, what? Look at that car. I'd be like, boy.
He'd be like, what the fuck? I will blow up about him. And I don't know shit about cars for real. I know basics. Uh-huh. I know how to, you know, oil changes and you know, batteries.
You know how to change a tire?
Of course. I changed our tire.
Oh, wait. I have no memory of that. Oh, wait. You. I think I remember.
Yes, I know how to change tire. I know how to change the oil, you know, spark plugs. And I know how to do normal, what I feel like is normal, but most people probably don't even know how to do that shit, though.
Yeah, I don't.
I can't swap a motor out. But I'm into cars, so daily I'll look up cars on my phone.
You do.
Just randomly.
Like, I'll look over and I'll be like, what are you doing? And you'll be on Facebook Market looking at cars or like...
Cars and shit. I'm just like... I don't even want to buy, but I just feel like I just need to know this or that third... like I said, just doing activities that glow up the inner child is healing. Taking note of what makes you, like, feel a little weak. And, like, mm-hmm. where does it come from? Like, basically, like I said, when you hear that voice in your head of doubt, does it come from something? That's healing the inner child. Like, thinking back, when was the first time you can remember doubting yourself?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Do it feel like that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the root. You heard something or something disturbed you.
Yeah, you want to go back and forth with the different ways?
Yeah, we can do that.
A way for me that I heal my inner child is just this family. Like, having this union with you and, like, having our children is definitely a large way that my inner child is healing, because I never got to experience a union like that. I never got to experience love like that, like, between two adults. You know, of course my mother loved me and I love my mother, but I didn't experience love from, you know, two adults in the home.
Yeah.
And just, I remember Saturday morning, last weekend, it was Sunday morning because I was doing my hair and I was downstairs. Y'all were still asleep. And I came up here to check on y'all to see if y'all were still sleeping. And y'all were just lying in bed, you and Zuri, playing with the blocks, playing with Jenga. I was just like, oh my God, these are the moments. These are the moments that matter the most.
Yeah, those do be beautiful moments. Like, we did grow up a little different because I actually got to see two loving adults.
You did? Oh, wait, when you... Before.
Yeah, when I was a very young child, which is like one of my... Like, we talking about the Library of You. Like, one of my books is like... I tell you, like, I used to dream about being a husband.
I know.
Like, so, it's so, like...
That's so sweet. And see, it's so funny because I didn't dream about being a wife because my mother was a single mother. And I just thought that's, like, this is how it is.
I get it. I do. I sure used to dream about being a husband. I don't know why the fuck I used to do it.
That is so sweet,
I do know
though.
Why I saw my mom and dad. They used to joke. My dad was, like, my dad kind of like me. He was like this unique cross... of a sports guy, a nerd, a music head, but then he also had like a very comforting aura to him mm-hmm. as well. So he was a unique person. Like, he would go from watching, you know, the X-Men and Wolverines to,
oh my God.
to, hey, baby, you finna cook because I'm finna sit down and watch the Dallas Cowboys game. And after that, we play fucking Mortal Kombat while he played Eazy-E in the background. Like, he was like a very unique person.
He thought he was Eazy-E.
He thought he was fucking Eazy-E.
But he thought he was from the West Coast.
I wish I could talk to this man and let him know, like, what the fuck was you thinking?
You are not Eazy-E, sir.
Like, this man used to have black locs on at all times.
Raiders cap.
Raiders cap, and he had a fucking Jerry curl, bro.
I remember you asked me what was his favorite team, and I was like, that's Eazy, the Raiders. And you was like, no.
He liked
the
Cowboys.
Why would he be wearing the Raiders hat?
He kept a Raiders cap on. That West Coast shit. He was a character, man. When my mama told me the outfit he had on when she met him, I was like, why would you choose this man?
What did he have on?
He had a Jerry curl, his black locs on, a leather biker jacket, and a feather earring in his ear.
Oh, I do remember the feather earring.
I'm like, well, what the fuck you got on? And mama, why would you choose this man? Of all these people standing over here, you chose him. I'm like, that shit blows my mind. But,
I love that you have that experience. And I can, like, I forget, because I know your father passed away when you were young, but I forget that, you know, at some point he was actually there in your home.
Yeah,
and you know, you had a mother and a father who loved each other in this loving household. And I'm happy you got to experience that. And I can tell that you experience that you're such a loving father and husband, so I can definitely tell that.
Thank
that's
you.
One of your core memories.
Yeah, it is.
Another one for me, the way I heal my inner child is like mothering my children a certain way.
Yeah,
you know, think back to when I said repairing myself, and even there's a whole episode on repairing to myself when my children do certain things, make certain mistakes. You know, at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And there is certain things that are on my mind, or, you know, things that I'm still healing from. But my kids spill stuff all the time, Lord. RIP to my flows.
Clumsy is kids.
RIP to my
one
flows.
One of them ain't actually clumsy. One is clumsy. The other one purposely spills.
Yeah, because she's like a menace.
To see shit splashed on
yeah,
the shit.
Yeah. But, you know, whenever that happens, I don't blow up. For, you know, because if that was me when I was a kid,
oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, oh my, like, it's this big ordeal. And so, again, I think back to that one time where I was getting our oldest daughter ready for school, and I had just fixed her lunch, and she dropped her whole lunchbox on the floor, and mm-hmm. like, food went everywhere. And she was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, mommy, I'm so sorry. And like I said before, in that moment, I was her, and I wanted to cry. Like, there was a part of me, like, just, I was literally her, reliving an experience that I had when I was a child. And I changed history, really. I was just like, it's okay, baby. Let me help you pick it up. And so that's just an example of how, like, I heal my inner child by parenting my, like, I feel like I'm reparenting myself by parenting my children in a certain way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing with me. When I said I was a child who was, like, overlooked
mm-hmm.
and nobody really spoke about or asked me about my interests in my family, I was perceived as smart. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that they just ignored me completely, like I didn't exist. Everyone thought I was going to be smart. They would say it all the time.
They still, to this day, like, think you are
the smartest person in the
world. Your mama have... Well, I think, obviously, I think they think you're smart, and they think I'm smart by way of being with you, because
your
mom was like, yeah, Rika, you the smartest person I know. I was like, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people you know?
Me?
How many people you know?
But because my family, and I was a responsible young kid.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being whatever age, and I had a stash of money in the laundry room, like paying for my school clothes already. Everybody was like, what'd you finna say?
You was a man.
I was a man.
You was a man when you was a boy. What was the thing?
I tell my daughter I was born a man.
You was born a man.
I was born a man. I had a mustache.
She'd be pissed.
I tell her I was born with a mustache and a debit card. She'd be pissed. Because my mama, I told her to go ask my mama, and my mama.
She was like, yeah.
Automatically doubled it up. And it's the truth.
Oh, God.
Moving on. Like I said, a lot of my family, they ignored me because they thought I had it figured out. Or like, Travis gonna figure it out. We ain't gotta worry about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I didn't get asked what I was gonna do or none of that. Because everybody just kind of figured I had it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I had nothing going on in their little mind about what my future was looking yeah. like, actually. So how I heal my inner child is when my daughter's like remotely interested in anything, I'm all in.
Yeah.
When my daughter told me she was gonna play soccer,
we all in.
Shin guards, two pair of shoes, like the alternate hood and soccer shoes. We went and got a goal for outside.
We did.
We started looking up training stuff. We got cones, like.
But also, I used to play soccer too in high school, so I was really excited about
that. You was very. When my daughter said she wanted to, you know, start a gaming channel.
Yep. We
got all the equipment needed for that ASAP. Like
that low key healed my inner child too, because it was certain things that I was interested in as a kid, singing being the main thing, and. My mother was like never really acknowledged that, never really like
said shit
gave support. Now, mind you, my grandma, that's a different story, but you know, you want to hear from your mother as well. My grandma was my mama though at the end of the day.
A lot of us grandma.
But being all in for whatever our children shows interest in definitely heals my inner child.
Yeah, I don't care what it is. I don't care
if you
want
to go be an astronaut, we going to the moon. Another way I heal my inner child is just being creative. Like a free form creative and not boxing myself in like to just certain things. Like I just feel like I'm such a multidimensional person. We all are multidimensional people, but I think so often we box ourselves in and like we try to fit into, especially me, like I'll try to fit into this or that, or even when it comes to like other people's perception of me or what I should be. But by just being creative and not even in a aspect where I have to capitalize on this thing, you know, or like make money on this thing. Like just finding a way to be creative that has nothing to do with like getting better, getting good, or making money off that thing. That definitely heals my inner child to just do this creative thing just to be doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you. For me not being seen, being an artist now, being a rapper now, like I control the whole joint now. You got to hear me now.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one of the ways. Like you said, being creative definitely helps heal my inner child. I definitely had a whole lot of creativity as a child.
Yeah.
I wanted to do and be everything. Do you remember what your first, like, dream job was? Was it always singing?
Well, it was always consciously, it was always singing. But I remember, like, I feel like I wanted to be a teacher at some point because my Virgo rising, like, just love organizing, right? I used to make my little cousins, well, they was a year younger than me. Like, I was their teacher and we used to do homework. And then I used to make them write songs. I was like, please write this song and then I'll sing it. Like, that's how I used to like make them play with me. Like, let's write a song. I used to love writing songs.
Yes,
used to love. I had this whole like folder with songs written in it. So hilarious. But definitely singer, teacher. I can't really think of anything else though. What about you?
I used to want to be a police officer first.
I remember you saying that.
You want to be a cop.
You Judy Hopps. Going to be a police officer.
I used to want to be that. I thought that for a brief period, I thought I wanted to be an actor too.
I do remember you saying.
Yeah, bro, brief period, I thought I wanted to be an actor.
I can see you as an actor though.
You can?
I think I could be an actress too.
That, and then there was the NBA.
Oh, of course.
Remember I told you
yeah, NBA I, dreams, of course.
I was going to play for the Knicks. And
your girlfriend
marry,
was going to be... Your wife.
Not my girlfriend, baby. I was going to make the real commitment to marry Alicia Keys.
And I remember you said that the other day. And I was like, do you realize how much older than she... That never crossed
it
your mind.
It never crossed my mind
like,
when
could
I was
be your
a
mom.
Child that she could be my mom at that specific age. Like, yeah. It never once crossed my mind.
That's funny.
So I just thought I'd get drafted and Alicia Keys would be at a game. Boom. Bitch.
My apologies that you get them. And you know what? It's kind of logical though because she's from
New
York.
See, I had it all mapped out.
You did. The math was math.
The math was math, except the 5'9½, 5'10.
Yeah.
Math. That was the only math that didn't come out.
That's not the only part, but okay. That ain't the only math.
That's the only part.
That ain't the only part. My apologies. I'm not Alicia Keys, but.
You are better. My reality has come out to be far greater than I could have imagined.
Aww, that's so sweet.
And you sing too, so.
I ain't Alicia Keys though, baby.
You can't get on the keys.
I ain't got no keys. I'm saying I ain't got no keys. I can't play the keyboard. I can't play the piano.
What? our time here has come to a end.
Yeah. Do you remember Out of the Box? So long for now until we meet again.
I know this song, but just like, where do I know it from?
To you, my.
Where is it from?
Out of the Box.
Out of the Box was the shit. It was. It was.
But yeah, it's come to an end. Thank you for being here, mm-hmm. for allowing us into your space. Hopefully this gives you a little bit of introspection. You can, you know, actively journal and just whatever the case may be, do all of the things that you need to do to heal your inner child one day at a time. Don't rush this process at all. But yeah, we're sending you so much peace, so much love, so much abundance, and everything you need in this moment. I was like, what? Everything you need in this moment. Bye.
Peace.